Hello and welcome to this episode of the AF Mentors podcast. I have Jules and Maureen with me today. Jules, how are you?
Fabulous. It's gloriously sunny, but for a reason. But I love that.
Maureen, how are you?
I am great. I had a nice gym session this morning, but it's also very cold here. It's like snowy and sleety.
Guys, I just got my ring stuck in my pants. Like, legit, it's stuck.
Can't see.
I'd just like to say that's not the whole of my pants. That's just like a part of it. I can't get it
How
out.
did you do that?
Well, I was feeling myself up
I was
on
just about to say, were you down for a scratch?
no, you know what I was doing? Warming my hands, because Jules is right, it's fucking cold.
Yeah.
Sometimes I put my hands on my bum to warm them.
Jules, but like you're in a sleeveless top.
Yeah, because I keep the heating really high. Like Ross was like, we should get that system that allows you to control the heating from your phone. And I'm like, absolutely not, because you would switch it off.
Right, okay, I'm free.
Way.
I'll try not to feel myself up anymore. Oh, okay. Well, that was a great start. Right. Well,
Diplomatic.
okay, a few things that came up this week. One was about group coaching and probably why you should start with one-to-one coaching, get full up, learn the ropes a bit, work with a few clients, and then think about launching group coaching. Partly because one of the huge benefits of group coaching is it then becomes scalable, right? You will end up doing far more work. If you've got two people in a group, you will end up doing far more work. They will get less of an experience, and you may as well have just been doing one-to-one coaching with them. And the reason for that, and I'm going to let Jules talk about this as well, but I think some people think that group coaching is basically just one-to-one coaching with a WhatsApp group where they're all in a group, or it's one-to-one coaching, but everyone gets the same program. And basically, if you do that, it's just a lesser version of one-to-one. But it shouldn't be. Like, I mean, Maureen, you've now been in Commit to Six, like as a coach for a couple of months now. People stay for that. Like, that's a huge part of what they get. I would say like probably half of the benefit of doing Commit to Six is the group, the environment, like everything you get on that level, not just the one-to-one check-ins and the like individual support that you get with one-to-one. Like it should be additional to what you're getting one-to-one, not, oh, this is just a cheaper version of one-to-one that you get less support and it's not as good. And a lot of coaches sell it almost like that and then wonder why no one wants to sign up for it. Even if it's kind of subliminal, or even if it's like, oh, this is one-to-one, or you could just do the group where you just get workouts and I'll just check in with you every 2 weeks. And it's like, well, that sounds shit. No wonder no one's excited about that because you're making it sound like a lesser version. Same with when in-person coaches often try and sell online. It's like, oh, well, I'm full in person, but you could do this online thing instead. It's like, no. Based on you and your goals, online is what you need. Like, this is the support that you need, and this is how we deliver it. Sell them the outcome, not the process. And same with group. Like, I can't emphasize enough how much the group is additive to it. Like, I mean, with AFM, no one would stay on after one to one if there wasn't a group. Like, you get so much value from the group and from everybody in it, from everyone supporting each other. And like Jules is about to talk about, like, it's not just putting people in a WhatsApp group. Like, it's setting the expectations. It's setting the vibe. Like, one of the reasons that AFM is so good is that everybody wants the best for everybody, right? And everyone will go so far out of their way. It's the part of AFM I am the most proud of, is that people will just go so far out of their way to help you for no benefit to themselves. But because everybody does that, everybody wins, right? And then you think, right, okay, there's, 80 odd coaches in there. Loads of them have done mentorships before. That's the other thing. No one has an ego here. If you want to share something you've learned before that's working for you, crack on. I don't care who taught you it. Like, I think you can learn from everybody. There'll be some good parts, some not so good parts, and everybody wins.
I think that's the thing. It's very like online versus in person. It's not that group is a lesser version of one to one or a cheaper version of one to one. It's a different thing. And that's why, like, you always have like your application for coaching. Tell me what you need, and then I'll direct you where you need to go. Some of you need one to one, some of you would be better in Commit to Six. And it's a different thing. Like, there's different benefits to both of them, and depending on where people are, they either need the group or they need one-to-one. It's not just a smaller or cheaper version of it.
But I think that's what people look at with group coaching. It's like, if you are struggling to get one-to-one clients, people think, oh, well, if I just do a group program that's not as expensive as one-to-one, it would be easier to fill. But that's actually not the case at all. Like, you need to have enough of people bought into you and wanting what you have to be able to fill a group. It's not a case, and it's not down to the price or that. It's down to the perceived value of somebody has with your service. So if people don't value what you have to offer, like, it doesn't matter what you're offering them, they're not going to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a really good example of why it's not normally price that's the issue. Now, people will give price as a barrier because it's the easiest thing to say, you know, rather than actually, that doesn't really sound that great, which is, you know, like, people don't want to be dicks to you, but realistically, that's what most people are thinking. It's not worth X amount for me, rather than I actually can't afford it. And a good example of this is when people do lower their prices and do start a group coaching program and people still don't sign up. It wasn't price that was the issue, right? It was how you're packaging things up. It was a problem that you're talking about. It was maybe the authority that you have. It was the relationships that you have with those people. They didn't want to pay you for coaching. Okay, so how do you change that? Rather than it's you need to make it £20 cheaper a month. That's not the issue.
That's what it boils down to. That's not worth that to me. That's what people are saying to you. When they tell you price is an issue, it's not worth it for me to pay you that for what you're going to give me back. And that's how you change it. You don't lower your prices. You get to know your customer better. What is it they need? What is it they are seeking out that you can provide for them to make it worth it to pay them that money?
Agreed. And it's not about the features. I think this is as well. It's like, when you say that, people are like, oh, but sure, I've got an app and I've got this and I've got that. It's like, that's not what they're paying you for. They're paying for the outcome. Like, what? How are they going to feel after working with you? Like, how are you going to leave them different to the way that they are now?
I think the other thing, and I like, we're all guilty of this. I'm certainly guilty of it as well, is I'll say things like, oh, yeah, but you get check-ins. Or like someone would be like, oh, what's the difference between the easy method and commit to six? I'm like, oh, you get check-ins on commit to six. What the fuck's a check-in? You know, you and people vaguely know, right? Like, of like, oh, so someone's gonna ask me how things are going. But it's like, no, not really. Like, it's much more in depth than that. That's our opportunity to see what is working, what isn't working, how we can really help you, how we can individualize anything, if there's any tweaks we need to make, you know, if you need a pep talk, if you need some tough love, like. That's the essence of coaching, right? Like, check-ins are the coaching part. For most programs, like, the value of your coaching is in the check-in. And you're just like, yeah, we do weekly check-ins. It's like, no wonder they're not excited about it, because you're just like, do them. And then it's like, well, then people get upset that people don't do their check-ins. Because you've not really framed them as that important. You're just like, yeah, on a Friday, you'll get an email and then you do your check-in. Okay, well, why is that important? Why does that matter? Have you got them to allocate time on their Friday to do that check-in as if it was a PT session? We're going to have our PT session every Friday morning. They wouldn't just be like, nah, do it at some point and then like forget to do it. Like, you show up, right? Get them to get their calendar out. Friday morning at blah, blah, blah. You sit down and you do your check-in. It comes up in your calendar. You have that time. The important part is you reflect, you review your week. This can't be done in 10 minutes while you're on the train busy doing something else or distracted by something. Like, you need to sit down and reflect or this won't work. Now you're more likely to see the value in it. You're more likely to put time into it. You've allocated that time for them, or even talk to them, you know, when is best for you to sit down and do this? Doesn't mean that you can't reply when the time is right for your check-in replies. Like, if you're like, right, I reply to all check-ins on Monday, cool. If they're like, I'm going to have to do it on the Thursday, not ideal, but you know, whatever, like, you can still make these things work, but make sure that they agree to, yes, at this time I can sit down, I can reflect on my week, and I can send that over. Fine. My check-ins go out on a Friday for one-to-ones. All of them have to be done on a Friday, but there's one person who does it on a Sunday, right? And it's because we have an agreement that that's when she has time to sit down and reflect. We also have an agreement that her reply will come at some point, probably before Tuesday, but she's fine with that. Right, she's not going to get as prompt a reply because I set time aside on a Friday afternoon to do all my check-ins, so they need to be done in the morning. If you're all right with having a later response, then fine. We can agree to do that on a Sunday. But the important part is, like, they are important time periods if you want people to get the most out of coaching and see the value in it. Because once you've sold, you know, like, I think some people think, oh, once I've sold to them, like, they must see the value in it enough. It's like, no, you have to keep proving the value. Yeah, that's why that's why someone's going to stay with you. That's what retention's about. If they're like, oh, that was expensive, I didn't really get much from it, I'm not paying for the next month. Why would they? So you have to show them the value in it. And if they're not invested in that, and if they're not taking their time to reflect on their week, to do their check-ins, then they ain't going to stay.
Agree. Yeah.
Oh, the irony of me saying I had nothing to say today.
That never happens.
Well, thank God it doesn't, or the podcast wouldn't be. Well, what do you have to say, little Mary?
I said loads there, didn't I? I don't like to take the spotlight away from you, Emma.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thank you.
It is your podcast, after all.
Jules, do you
think what a lot of people, and I've kind of sort of reading between the lines of things that people have said, people think group coaching is a wee bit of passive income. That,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll create this bunch of workouts, I'll put everybody in a WhatsApp group, and then I won't need to do anything with it. I'll just put everyone in the group and they'll make a community. And I actually think a lot of the time group coaching is a lot harder. Because you've got to put so much work in. You create the community. A group of people in a WhatsApp group isn't a community. A people with a shared interest and that connect with each other is a community. But you need to spark that connection. You've got to set the vibe and the tone. And actually, I think a lot of coaches don't realise that the reason that their groups or WhatsApps or forums or whatever aren't buzzing all the time is because they've just put people in there and went, on you go. Well, it's up to you to get that fire going.
Mm-hmm. And it's pulling, you know, people are like, well, how do I do that? Not only is it you lead, you show the social norms, you, like, you know, have to put more effort in to create that at the start, for sure. But then also you pull other people in and champion them to do that as well. You know, like, oh, so-and-so is great at this, or, oh, I was just talking and checking about this. And actually Sharon said this amazing thing about blah, you know, and then you share that, what she said, because that, you know, you're trying to big other people up to be like, oh yeah, I have something to say here too. I have something to contribute. And you have to kind of show them that they do, so that next time you don't have to do that anymore. And people just organically do that. And it's amazing.
I think sometimes people don't really know, like, when they come into a group, they're not really sure, like, what's acceptable to be posted in a group. Like, if somebody is struggling with something, they're like, oh, am I going to completely dampen the mood here if I say that I'm struggling? But then when you see that, okay, it is okay to share that I might be having a bit of a difficult time, and that's when you get the support then from other people. It's like, you're now opening the door to allowing people to offer you help and advice. And then you start to see that, oh God, like, this is the value of being in a group. Like, if I'm having a bad day, everyone around me can help big me up rather than tear me down. If I'm winning at something, people aren't jealous. They're like there to celebrate and celebrate together. And it just creates this sort of a vibe where you feel like you belong somewhere. You feel like, oh, this is my place, my people. This is where I can be myself. People who are on the same journey as me, people who like the same things. Because sometimes people can be on like a health and fitness journey, and none of their friends or family around them are into that sort of thing, and it can be very isolating. So when you have that community of people who are like all kind of like-minded, or people going around the same thing, like, it just makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling at?
It's just the way you said isolating. It's like a little pause in there. Anyway, yeah, no, I completely agree. I think if you're trying to think, right, okay, well then how do I show people what to expect? You need to show more of what people show in the group, right? Like, you know, share that someone's having a hard time, or share like little parts from the group so you can see, like, this is what the group social norms are, this is how we support each other. And then same with things like check-ins. This is the other thing. Some people, and Again, I'm completely guilty of this. And for some, you know, when you point something out that's so obvious, I'm like, why have I never thought about this before? But some people are like, oh, I don't understand it. Like, some of my clients just do one word answers and check-ins, and other ones will send me like massive answers. And it's like, but you're seeing all of them. They have never seen that. You know, like the person that's doing a one word answer doesn't know that everyone doesn't do a one word answer. The person that does really long check-ins, and you're like, oh my God, like maybe you could condense like this whole thought stream a little bit into something that I can actually, you know, synthesize and help you with. They don't know that other people aren't doing that as well. You know, they don't know what the norm is. So it's kind of showing things like that as well. Like, this might be what a normal check-in looks like, or even showing things on your stories, like little snippets of check-ins, obviously with the approval, but then people can see like, oh, that's how much people write in a check-in, or that's how little people write in a check-in. And I've been writing like War and Peace. And yeah, so you can't expect people to know what other people are doing or what the norm is. I guess that's one of the benefits of the group, is that you do get these really strong social norms, right? Of you wouldn't share certain stuff, or you wouldn't do certain things. And you start to see that by how other people behave or respond to certain things within a group. But that social norm element, like, that's your job as a leader to create. And,
and that's the thing, you've got to be the leader in the community. Like, people are there for you to give them direction. They're not just there for you to be the admin of the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I totally agree. And especially like, because people don't know each other. It's like there's people in the group that they're like, they don't know each other. So the only reason they're there is, like Jules says, is they're there for you. So you have to kind of introduce them to people and get everyone kind of integrated in the conversation. And that's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah, you're the glue, right? Like, it's your wedding and nobody knows each other. Now, you're not expected to literally go around and introduce everyone to each person, but you could kind of, you know, you'd kind of be like doing little things of, oh, I know Jules from Pilates, you should chat to her, like, you love that stuff as well, or whatever. You know, you'd kind of like make little introductions. Yeah, that's maybe a good way to think about it.
Agreed.
All right, how's everyone feeling this week? How are your energy levels? Are you looking after yourself as a business owner? Because Maureen sent me a podcast this week and it spoke a lot about that. It's like, you need to look after yourself first. You need to show up for yourself first. How you then show up for others will be impacted on that. So, Maureen, what have you done this week to show up for yourself?
I have, what day are we today? Friday. I've been to the gym every day this week, every morning. Now, so my non-negotiable is like three. Like, I was hitting three easy.
Oh, you've set yourself some sexy range targets.
Yeah, I don't know where I got that idea from. So yeah, I was hitting three, but I wanted to do more, but I was struggling to be consistent with it. But now I found a cardio machine that I actually like, because I get really bored doing cardio. I'm like, I don't want to be walking on the Stairmaster, or the cross trainer is really boring, or whatever. But you know those what are they called? Recumbent bikes?
Oh, get away. No. Do you know why you don't find it boring? Because you're just sitting there like twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah, exactly. I can sit there and I can do a bit of work on my phone, like answering DMs and stuff like that. And my legs are going away and I'm putting
right, grandma,
a small bit out of breath, getting a small bit of cardio in. And I'm like, oh, that was a productive. Yeah, that was a productive 30 minutes.
I wonder how many, like, how much you've actually expended any energy doing that.
Hey, doing something's better than nothing. It's all about going in there. That's the whole idea of it. For me, it's like, I just need to go in there and do something because it helps me focus better. I don't really care. Like, I have structured workouts for 4 days the week. And the other days, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm just going to go in and do something. So I was like,
bye.
The recumbent bike, yeah. If it works. So yeah, I've been doing that. I've been training consistently, and my routine around food and everything has just been like spot on.
Good.
So that's what I've been doing.
Jules, what have you been doing?
I have. See, if I get over 7 hours of sleep, I could literally take on the world. See, if I get under 7 hours of sleep, everything's a disaster. Ooh. So I've focused on not, and it all comes from scrolling at night. Put your phone down, go to sleep. because I sleep really well where I stop scrolling on Instagram. So I've done that and I've joined. Actually, I think I've been saying I'm going to do this for about a year, but I joined the local hotel that's got like a spa in it so that I can go swim. It's got a massive big outdoor hot tub. And do you know what? I don't take my phone. So it actually takes me away from, because I'll not sit and scroll on my phone when I'm in water. So it's called Gledach.
Oh my God, yeah, I've been.
It's like, it's so nice. It's really close to me and it's not expensive.
Sounds like there's a story behind that.
Nah, it took like my ex like 5 years ago or something. That like, it's like a golf thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But they've like totally done it up in like the big outdoor hot tub. I don't know, you could probably fit 20 people in it now. It's like a big hot pool outside. Amazing views, and it's very mindful. So
yeah, and to be like, that is amazing views. Yeah, I'd go there, phone off. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no phone, bit of mindfulness. And I think swimming's quite a mindful activity. Mm. So it gets me out of the house and all that. Yeah. So I'm absolutely buzzing this week.
That's very
what have you been doing, Emma?
So I started a new program, been training. I have the worst DOMS I've had in many, like a long time. I think because I was just doing like 15 minute workouts, I have realized that I can only fit in about like 3 longer workouts a week. So I do like 3 good long workouts, training to failure, really pushing myself. And then I still do like 2 or 3 just like 15 minute quick things in between. So
there you are, recumbent bike.
No, not on a recumbent bike. Like, as an example, this morning, 10 pull-ups, sled push, 10 press-ups, 10 single leg hip thrusts times 5. Bit more than the recumbent
bike.
I was really exerting myself. My legs were spinning fast.
How fast can you make them go while you're sitting down?
Say that again.
How fast can you go when you're sitting down?
Very fast. And you can change the resistance. I'm telling you.
All right, then. Okay. And then the other thing I've been thinking about is partly because I started reading this book called Look Again. Now, anyone who has observed this about me, yes, it's true, right? I'll start reading a book and then become like completely fixated on it and be like, this is everything. Like, this is the answer to literally everything.
Same.
But anyway, at the moment, it's this book called Look Again. But it did make me think, when Jules was talking, I was thinking, that's amazing. And you will get so much from that at the moment. But within 2 months, it'll become the norm. And you'll become habitualized to it. And then things will start creeping in. You know, it's kind of like the creep of like, oh, then I do sometimes have my phone, or I do, you know, like I don't go as often, or something else comes up, or I end up rushing it because I've not made time for it anymore. And the whole kind of, or not the whole, but one of the big parts of this book is about how you like habitualize to things. And that if you want to stop doing that, you need to have change in your life frequently. So I've been thinking about that and like how I'm going to incorporate that. And the point is, like, it doesn't need to be massive change. You know, like my preference is I'll just dot around the world, go to different places, travel around, right? Might not be everyone's, and it might not be possible for everybody. And I'm probably not going to do that all the time, but it doesn't have to be that big a change. Like, I noticed like last weekend, I went to a different coffee shop, right? Not one that I've never been to before, but one I've not been to for a few months. And even like the difference in creativity or in the way that I was thinking or in the focus, like this weekend, there's certain things I have to do. I have to build the landing page for the accelerator that we're going to run, but not just build the landing page, but just completely like conceptualize it. That's not going to be done in the place that I normally work. Like, it needs to be somewhere else, right? And it doesn't have to be a million miles away. You don't have to get a flight somewhere else. Like, you can literally just be like different environment, fucking different Starbucks if you want. It doesn't really matter where, but I know that for certain things I'm going to do, I'm going to do them in different places because I have like a different brain energy, a different thought process, a different atmosphere, and I can get into like a different zone in those areas. So I think if you're like, oh, I'm kind of lacking creativity, or everything feels quite samey at the moment, you'll benefit so much from just changing your environment, even if it's not the biggest change. Like, it literally might be as simple as yesterday I did some work in my living room instead of in my office room. Like, it did, and it genuinely, it felt different. It was a different kind of work that I was doing. So, yeah, think about changing your environment a little bit.
Did you do the exercise where it said about staring at the dot?
Nah.
Knew you wouldn't. But the concept of it was, like, you stare at the dot and there was like rainbow colours all around you, but the more you stare at it, the colours go and everything just becomes grey. And as soon as you move your eyes again, the colours will come back. And that's basically what happens in life. You get so used to doing something that the kind of glimmer or whatever kind of dwindles away. But then as soon as you change something, that kind of glimmer or the colour comes back.
I like the bit about Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, do you know, my favourite day is just taking my kids to school and then like having a little bit of a walk and then having dinner. And it's like the most, like, quote unquote, like, I don't know, like, or like mundane day. Now, if you live that every day, it's not amazing anymore. But if you're Julia Roberts and you're flying around the world and you, you know, don't get home that much, then you're like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. But realistically, she will become habitualized to it. Everybody does. It's normal. So you need to kind of put like bits of excitement in it. I think one of the best examples is when you go into someone's house who smokes and you're like, fucking hell, it absolutely stinks of cigarettes. And then within 3 minutes, you can't smell it. And they can't smell it, you know? And then, like, you know, or someone else will come in and be like, God, it fucking stinks in here. But they can't smell it. That is basically that's one of the best examples of habitualization and how quickly it can happen. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure you'll hear a lot of me talking about stuff like that. I also think it's going to be like, it is the key to gratitude, is just like resensitizing yourself. And sometimes it's just noticing that, like, oh, all these amazing things in my life, I don't think they're amazing anymore because I see them every single day. You know, that's just become the norm. It's especially true with, like, one of the things I loved about it is they were talking about how material possessions, like, I don't know, buying a new car or something, you'll be buzzing about it for a few weeks and then it just becomes the norm. Now, from the point of buying, your enjoyment of it always goes down. Whereas experiences, your enjoyment of it goes up over time. And you have, like, I like to frame this as well, you have like a better return on investment from experiences because, I don't know, went to Albania a few years ago. One, I don't even remember how much money we spent there. Probably wasn't anything ridiculous, but, you know, like, the point is, like, you remember how much the car was, right? You don't often remember exactly how much, like, your experiences were. But now I get to relive that experience for the rest of my life, in my memories, in conversations, in what I learned there, in, you know, whereas, and so it appreciates with value. Whereas, like, your car is, like, literally depreciating every single day that you have it. Apart from, weirdly, there's like a real big increase in the second hand car market at the moment. But anyway, besides the point, normally a car will depreciate and the joy that you're getting from it will certainly depreciate.
But it's like, think about things with friends that you think of something that happened like 8 years ago and you talk about this same situation all the time. And every time you talk about it, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And like, you probably talk about it 3-4 times a year, every year. And you still get a big laugh out of it every time.
And then the point about that as well is that, like, my point was kind of like, spend more on experiences than you do on things. But you also don't necessarily need to spend on anything, you know? Like, funny stuff happens just because it happens. Like, it doesn't necessarily have had to cost you any money for that to happen. Like, remember that time my ring got stuck in my pants? That was a great time.
Yeah.
That didn't cost us anything. Right, okay. Well, that was fantastic. Thank you both for your time and for your brains. And we will be back very shortly with more information about the accelerator because I'm going to a completely different Starbucks to be completely inspired and flesh it all out.
Whoop.
Just to give you a little insight into that, it is going to be all about generating leads, but not just generating leads, generating hot leads that are actually the clients that you want to help, that have put their hand up and said, yes, I have that problem that you're really good at solving, and doing it in a way that's authentic to you, not sleazy sales, not cold DMs. So is to come in. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.